What's up, everybody? Welcome to Shooting the Sports-ish. I am back, and Jake and I are here in Augusta, apparently, as we have Augusta behind us. Georgia is on my mind, but you know what else is on my mind? Give it a little bit here, as I have not done a podcast yet since this happened. That's right, baby. I got all the gear. Fucking Baylor University has won the national championship. I am still on cloud nine from that. We were talking about golf. We'll obviously do mostly that. But Sikkim Bears and fuck Gonzaga. Not really. Actually, I love Gonzaga. But that one night only, it was fuck Gonzaga, Jake.
Yeah, I was on a different stream, and we were trying to hop off before the game started. So I looked, and it was 9-0. And then, of course, games on CBS, which I don't have access to, so I had to find it online. By the time I found it, Baylor was up by like 15 or something. So I was like, oh, boy. Of course, waiting on the Gonzaga comeback, and it just never happened. Baylor looked like the much better team, looked like – you and I talked about it where, like – and, you know, it became a popular narrative in the national media where, like, hey, if COVID didn't hit, maybe Baylor's undefeated. We got undefeated versus undefeated. But I think that might have been Gonzaga's problem. There's all that extra mounted pressure. They're playing the other best team in the country. You're trying to trying to end up with that perfect record. And Baylor had two losses under their belt. They had that like extended break back in December or whatever, whenever it was. So they just played with no pressure. They played an awesome game. And congratulations to you and all Baylor fans on your first championship. Hey, men's championship, I should
say. That's true, yes, because the women kick ass and have for a long time. So Sikkim Bears, let's get into golf. I also really love the Masters. I think the Masters is one of my favorite tournaments to watch, has been for a really long time. Augusta is just beautiful to watch. We saw it in November, and I, at the time, the school I teach for was actually on a COVID break. So I won't get to watch every day of the tournament, every minute of the tournament like I did last year, but I will get to watch a lot of it. I love Augusta, Jake. It's my one of my favorite courses to watch these guys play at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's the consensus among even if you're not a golf fan, even if you don't like golf, whatever, you're going to tune in for some point in the Masters, especially with a loaded field like this, this many recognizable names. That's something that has just been getting bigger and better for golf year by year. There's more names. There's more recognition. There's more popularity, personalities. I think golf is in a really good place right now and nothing better than Augusta in April.
Yeah, back to normal, because last year, and we'll talk about the results from last year. Last year, Dustin Johnson set the scoring record, which predictably he did. The greens were definitely softer, a little easier to putt. Scores were ridiculous last year. He set the scoring record at 20 under and winning his first Masters. Was that his first Masters?
I believe that was his first Masters, yeah.
Pretty crazy that he did end up picking that up, especially with the scoring records that he had. And just looking back at these scores, we talked about it pre-stream. Dustin Johnson, 20 under. Cameron Smith, 15 under. Sung Jae-im, 15 under. Justin Thomas was fourth, and he was 8 strokes behind at 12 under. Rory was a top 5 finish, 11 under. Koepka was 10 under. John Rahm was 10 under. A lot of guys just shot outrageous. I think the cut was, where was the cut at? The cut was 1 over, which is crazy that the cut was 1 over. Yeah.
And any of those scores in any other typical year, I mean, those guys are battling it out on Sunday, you know, and they just weren't even close. They were 6 strokes, 10 strokes behind. Dustin Johnson, by the way, has played in every Masters since 2015 and has never finished outside the top 10. He's got a second place finish and 2 fourth place finishes. So, I mean, Dustin Johnson just owns this tournament as of late.
Yeah, the last time, but we'll talk about some odds and stuff here in just a second. But Jake and I are both golfers. I love golf. I golf about twice a week usually. It is one of the only ways I can get away from my baby and my wife for just a minute. I love being with them, but it is nice to be out in nature by yourself. I don't know about you, but like my way of playing golf is like they didn't have any fans at Augusta last year. And that's kind of like that nice, tranquil peace and quiet. I don't do headphones when I golf. I just listen to the golf course, and it is my favorite place to be in the world.
Yeah, 100%. Like, if I'm out with some buddies and we go into it with, you know, the intention of like just having a good time, whatever, well, have some drinks, have some noise going on or whatever. But I've always been competitive with myself when it comes to golf. I played on the high school team for 4 years and stuff. So like, and I also, it's expensive. I don't want to go pay the $25 to $40, whatever, just to suck. So I don't want to distract myself. I like playing golf. I like playing golf well. So I'm in the same exact boat as you. Sometimes I go by myself, sometimes I bring my girlfriend, whatever, but it's always quiet. It's always focused. And, man, I just love the game.
Yeah, I do too. Love watching golf. It's going to be a great time watching golf. Let's talk about the odds we have, so far. Predictably, Dustin Johnson is, like 9.5 to 1 odds +950 in DraftKings Sportsbook, which is what we're going to reference today. He is +950 to win the tournament. Obviously, he is predictably set at that. We'll talk about top fives, top tens here in just a little bit. Your top 10 odds are just Dustin Johnson, 950. Bryson DeChambeau, who does have a win in this new season. Dustin Johnson does not, but it's DJ. Of course, he's the favorite. Justin Thomas won at the Players, which was an incredible tournament for him. +1050. John Rahm is +1200. He's a new dad. We'll talk about that. Jordan Spieth, who just picked up his first win in a long time at
almost 4 years, four calendar years nearly. He's about 2 months shy of 4 years.
That's crazy. It's been a long time. And Jordan's short game is outrageously good. It's about time he got another win. I was so happy to see Jordan win. So was my bankroll. +1200 with him. Rory McIlroy +1700. Cantlay +2200. Xander Schauffele is +2500. Brooks Koepka, who is on knee surgery, just had knee surgery in March, +2800. Colin Morikawa +3000. We'll stop here at Berger in a second. Patrick Reed +3500. Daniel Berger at +4000. So those are +11 by your top 11, top 12 guys. Who sticks out to you there that you think is good money betting going into this tournament?
Well, right off the top, I'm going to plug, I just spent all day and yesterday writing a ton, which you can find over at Shooting the Sports Ish. I broke things down, my favorite prop bets. I broke it down per golfer, just a lot of stuff over there. So shootingthesportsish.com, go check that out after the stream. Somebody that I'm probably going to avoid, I'll start there, is Jordan Spieth. I've liked watching him with his, you know, he had that fall from grace. He's had a comeback. The whole golfing world has cheered for him. He's been good lately, but I'm just not ready to believe that he's going to be able to win amongst this top group of guys and top talent. Bryson DeChambeau is another one who obviously we know what Bryson can do. And we know how talented he is, but he averages 30th. He finishes 30th on average across his five appearances at the Masters. So I'm trying to avoid him as well. I love John Rahm. I know maybe that's jumping the gun here because you and I both like Rahm a lot. We're gonna talk about that quite a bit. But 12-1 at John Rahm, I like that a lot. Rory McIlroy, I would also stay off of. I always fade Rory. Been a big Rory fan. I like Patrick Cantlay, how he's been playing lately. And Xander Schauffele has surprised us. Not even really necessarily surprised, but he's been pretty solid dating all the way back to the beginning of 2020 as well. So I like those two guys at above 20-1. But if you're going to give me one of the top contenders, I'm taking John Rahm.
Yeah, top contenders. So what I usually do with the top contenders is just the way I bet. I don't touch these. Like, if you bet other sports, like if you bet your basketballs, you bet the NBA, NFL, college basketball, college football, whatever, you see +1200 and you're like, oh man, great odds. John Rahm, he's great. You know, he was seventh last year at the Masters. He's fantastic. I have some other stats here on Rahm. Where do I have them at here? I got him pulled up. There we go. He's made 10 cuts in 10 out of 10 cuts his last 10 appearances. Six top 10 finishes, eight top 20, nine top 25. Hasn't finished lower than 32nd in the last year of golfing. You're like, man, I can get this guy at 12-1. Mm-hmm. But there's so many, but I don't like to bet these guys this early at those odds. Like, yes, there's a lot of money in it. And I can put down $5, win $60. That's fantastic. But chances are, I can still get John Rahm as if he's a leader after game round one, round two, at probably +650, +750, mm-hmm. and get a little safer money. And there's not as much of a payout there. So I like that you pulled up those 20-1s. I'm fading Rory too. I have no interest in playing Rory. I don't think he's going to be in contention, especially since he just admitted that he's like going back to changing his game again because he was chasing Bryson DeChambeau in distance. Yep. I'm fading Bryson DeChambeau too. I think this is an awful awful place for him to play. Mm-hmm. His putting is not great. He's not a bad putter. I wish I could putt like Bryson and say I was bad at putting. But he struggled in the Masters last year. I think he tied for 44th, I think, is where he was at last year. He's missed a cut out of his last 9 appearances. He's finished 5 top 10s, yes. He's won twice, yes. But his putting is not what won him. The last one win that he got, his putting actually kept Lee Westwood alive. And Lee Westwood had a chance right. All the way to Sunday to the very last hole. That's why I do not like him. You have to be a good putter here. And he is not. He just really is not.
Lee Westwood, by the way, a guy that I got a couple different props going on this weekend as well. But I completely agree about DeChambeau. I mean, like I said off the top, he's bad at Augusta, averages a 30th finish. And then when you're dealing with guys like Dustin Johnson, even like a Brooks Koepka who's playing injured this weekend, but I mean, we all know what Brooks Koepka can do, especially in these big moments. I mean, you keep going on the list and you're really going to take Bryson DeChambeau at plus 1050. Like, that's not intriguing enough for me at all to try and get on him. Something else that I do like to do, though, you said you maybe like to wait a round or two before you hop on John Rahm as a leader. Past three Masters tournaments. Jeez, I almost forgot. My brain's
fried. You're fine, man.
Past three Masters tournaments, he has finished 4th, 7th, and 9th, I believe. So I think he's firmly in that top 10 category. And give me John Rahm plus 110 to finish in the top 10 right off the bat. Those odds are not going to get any better as the weekend goes on. I'll take even money for a top 10 performance any day of the week here with John Rahm. So I do think, personally, that it's worth it at the 12-1 odds. Like you said, put $5, put $10 down. If you lose it, whatever, it's at a chance at $120. And then if he is leading later on, you can throw down a larger bet at that 6 to 8 to 1 range. But I like it for Dustin Johnson too. Even money, plus 110 for John Rahm. Take these guys to finish top 10. That's a heck of a value right there. Even money, but I mean, top 10 is almost, I definitely don't want to say guarantee, but I mean, it's right there. It should happen for both those guys.
Yeah. Monotone Football joins here, and he's going to have, we're going to have a video up with him where he's going to actually it's just DFS plays, which DFS is my favorite. DFS is actually golf. We'll get into that later in the show too. But he's got a Westwood over Hatton prop, and I like that. Westwood's been playing well too. If you think the old guy, which his putting lost him. Funny we talk about putting with those two, but in that finish against Bryson DeChambeau, the reason why he didn't win is his putting kind of fell apart on him. But he's 50-1 to win, and he has been playing pretty well. I don't think he has a real chance to win. I'll get into some value plays here in just a little bit, but I don't think he has a chance to win. He's not somebody I'm really crazy about. I have some notes about some of these top guys that we'll talk about too, just to throw them out here as we get more into the odds. Spieth has been on fire, but he just won. I love that you'd want to fade him to win, because are you going to win two tournaments in a row? No, probably not.
Koepka, especially after you haven't won a tournament in 4 years. And we're not talking about majors here, guys. We're talking about a tournament, a PGA tournament in 4 years.
Right. And his short game's great. Like, can Spieth finish top 10, top 15? For sure. Like, you want to take him, maybe he's in the top 20 after round one. We'll look at that prop in a second. That's probably fine. But, I mean, it's tough with him. Justin Thomas is another interesting one I want to touch on, because he is playing outstandingly well. He's first in putts per greens in regulation right now, and he's first in birdies or better. He's second in adjusted scoring this season. He finished 4th last year in 2020, and he just won at the Players Championship at TPC Sawgrass, which is a really difficult course to play. His short game was outstanding. He was hitting some outrageously nice shots. He was putting very well. He had that unbelievable eagle putt that launched him into first place on the Sunday down the stretch. And he's plus 1050 right now, so 10.5 to 1. I actually really like Justin Thomas if you're taking a heavy favorite. He's kind of where I'm rolling for a heavy favorite. Him and Rahm are my two favorite top 10 guys to bet on right now.
Yeah, I think Thomas is kind of in the category that Spieth was a number of years ago, where just every tournament he's going to be in contention, every tournament he's going to be a good bet. And Justin Thomas, obviously a likable guy. He's a fun guy to watch on the course. For some reason, I typically don't find myself betting on him all that much. I always get like lost in the mix with all these other guys. And then boom, Justin Thomas ends up with a top 5 finish. I'm like, well, that would have been some easy money. But I definitely am going to have a little bit of money on him this weekend as well. Like I said, he's no matter what tournament, what month, you're in Justin Thomas is a good bet.
Here's another one I like a lot. I don't know if we haven't talked about Patrick Reed yet, right?
We have not.
Patrick Reed finished 10th last, tied 10th in 2020. He has some interesting stats this season as well. He leads in strokes gained and in putting, and he's second in conversions of his greens in regulation. Patrick Reed is 35-1, and this is a guy that finished top 10. This is a guy that's putting outstanding, and most importantly, in a tournament like this where the greens are firm, where your short game matters, where gaining strokes is going to be huge. It's not Bryson DeChambeau that leads this. Per PGAtour.com today that I saw, he leads in that. Patrick Reed, at 35-1. I mean, how do you not throw $5 on him with a chance to win 165? And that feels as safe of a bet as possible. Is he going to win? I don't know. But the upside is huge in that value.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously, it's a guy that's done it before. And I don't think you can overstate how valuable that is at Augusta, just to know, like, I can play this course, I can dominate this course, and I can be better than all these guys. So even with a guy like Patrick Reed, who kind of fell off a bit after his big win at the Masters just a couple years ago, he's always floating around there, always has an opportunity. And like you said, 35-1, correct?
35-1. Yeah,
can't really beat that. You can also find some value in him as well if you're looking at there's a specific subcategory of the best finish amongst past winners. There might be some value in there as well. I'm trying to pull it up here. It's there's a lot of stuff going on DraftKings, and I always forget where I can find all these things, but I'll have it for you in a minute.
Yeah, that's awesome. Patrick Cantlay is another one, 22-1. He has some nice stats there. He didn't play last year, but in 2019, he finished ninth. So he finished ninth with similar, or maybe even the same, conditions at the course as he's going to see this year. He did play last year. He was 17th in 2020. That's two top 20 finishes back to back. That is nice to look at. He has a win. He's finished second. He's finished tied for third. And he has eight top 20s this year as well. Patrick Cantlay at 22-1 is another nice value. Let you tell me if there's any value picks that you like before I give you my two that I really like.
Well, let me jump back to Patrick Reed really quick. He is plus 550 to finish the best amongst past champions. And really, when you start going on the list, he's only got to beat four or five guys. Of course, you got Dustin Johnson, you got Jordan Spieth, even Sergio Garcia. But then, you know, the odds start to get a bit longer. Bubba Watson maybe could make some noise. But then you're talking lots of older guys, lots of guys that just really shouldn't be in contention, such as Phil Mickelson, Zach Johnson, Fred Couples, Larry Mintz. I mean, he should have no problem placing above those guys. So if you like Patrick Reed to beat essentially just Spieth and Johnson, you can get that at plus 550 on DraftKings as well. So there might be some value there to, you know, not win the whole tournament, but to place among or place above those guys.
Yeah. Any value picks that you like before I give you mine?
Yeah.
There's a few of them. Everyone's playing so well right now, it's so hard just to pick one.
One value pick that I actually like. Actually, I have two. One of them is a very much a value pick. It's a pretty long shot, but it's a lefty to win the tournament at 33-1. There's only five lefties in the entire field, so it could be tough. And you're talking about basically Phil Mickelson and Bubba Watson, and then three guys who just essentially don't have a chance. So you're betting like a 2-for-1 there and getting 33-1 odds. I might throw something small on that. But another value pick that I like, I guess maybe you can consider this a value pick. It's plus 350. And that is actually Lee Westwood, who we just touched on, to win his Group E. And Group E comes from DraftKings. I'm sure he's got a similar group on other platforms. But he's just got to beat guys like Hatton, Neiman, Corey Connors. And then the one that scares me is Hideki Matsuyama, because he is truly a wild card in any tournament. But I like Lee Westwood there to win that grouping at plus 350. So that's the one that jumps to the top of my mind, as well as the lefties to win a tournament.
I like those as well. I have two outright winners that I think are good bets, and I'm going to sound like a fool for one of them because everybody bets this guy all the time. One of them is Sergio Garcia is plus 6,000. He set out last year, but he has three top 10s and five top 15s in 2021. So he's playing well. We saw that incredible hole in one he hit a few weeks ago at the, what was that tournament called where they did the match play? Oh my God, what is it called?
Isn't it just the World Golf
Yes.
Championships?
Is yes. The word golf. Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is that one. So he played well in that. And it's, I mean, Sergio Gausser is a good golfer. I think everybody wants this to happen, which is why I like it. Adam Scott is 75-1 to win. He's won it before. The problem is with Adam Scott is we haven't seen him golf a lot because of COVID. And I had somebody over from ESPN on the show just a couple weeks ago before the Players. And it's tough. It's tough to want to go with him because there's not really any reason to put the money on it. The only reason you would is because you can get a past winner at 75-1, which is stupid, right? Like those are crazy odds. You put $5, Adam Scott wins, you could win $380. Is he going to win? I don't know. It's kind of like, do I feel good about his odds of winning? No, I'm not telling you I think Adam Scott's going to win the tournament. I'm saying I'm okay with losing $5. Mm-hmm. In case he does show the guy that won the Masters before.
Sure. I'm right there with you, especially that's one thing I love about golf is you could put $25-$30 out there and have the potential to win literally thousands. So yep. It's just incredible value. And again, this one might be reaching a little bit far, but you want to talk about turning $5 into something with a past winner. Phil Mickelson, 175-1. So, I mean, it might be a reach, but talk about value. He's a past winner. He's done it 3 times. Who knows? Old man Phil could show up one more time.
Imagine if if it's the old man Phil that was in the match with Steph Curry and Charles mm-hmm. Barkley and Peyton Manning, that dude can win the match. Now, mind you, that's the course that he designed. So of course he played outstanding there. If that guy shows up, he could win. He could win it. He's probably not going to, but he could. 175-1. You're right. You throw $2 on it. I mean, why the hell not? It's a stupid amount of money.
Yeah, exactly. And again, that's the point where it's like, what's $2 for the chance to win 350? I'll take it. I'll take it. I love cheering for Phil. I've liked Phil more and more as I've grown up. Same. And I just respect the hell out of that guy. So, and the fact that he's out there doing it too, with all of his arthritis problems and the fact that he could be on the senior tour and taking it easy and whatever, he's still out there chipping away. So, why not throw $2 on Phil?
So let me ask you this real quick. We'll talk about, just golfers, like if they really have a chance to win it at all. And of course, like they have some nice odds. These are guys that have won stuff. The big one, I think a lot of people will want to bet is Colin Morikawa. Mm-hmm. And Colin Morikawa is outstanding. He's young. He might have been the one that finished tied 44th last year. And Bryson, I think, was somewhere else. I probably have that goofed up. Someone will tell me, hopefully. The problem with Morikawa, I think, is, of course, his putting. His putting did put him in jeopardy of losing whatever the last tournament it was that he won. I got to pull him up now. You've done a lot of research. Do you think there is any chance, is 30-1 on Colin Morikawa, who's got some wins over the last year. Is there any chance you think for him to make a run at this thing?
I just don't believe so yet at this point in his career. I think he has been sprung into this spotlight and maybe deservedly so, but sure. He won that tournament out of seemingly nowhere. Everybody loved him. He's a likable guy. Now he's catapulted to the number 4 ranked golfer in the world. I'm just not quite sure he's going to be able to sustain that. I don't want to see him fall off, but I have a feeling that he might take a little bit of a dip before he ultimately establishes himself as one of those top guys. There's just too much experience, too many past winners. I wouldn't spend the money on Morikawa personally, but I know a lot of people out there like him, have made a lot of money on him so far. So if he's your guy, more power to you, but I personally am not going to be on him. Don't really have any interest in being on him this weekend.
Yeah. Vincent says, I want to apologize if you guys have mentioned it. DraftKings has a boost for predicting a golfer to get a top 10 finish.
John Rahm or Dustin Johnson. I mean, don't overthink it. It's one of those guys.
Yeah, I would even, I would look at that. I would think Patrick Reed would be a nice one to throw a couple bucks on.
Well, it's boosted 100-1 for any golfer, I believe, is the
promotion. Oh, it's 100 to 1
on any golfer, and I think it was a max of $50 or $100 bet. I can't remember, but I did see that promotion. So the boosted odds,
I would put that on Dustin Johnson.
That's what I'm saying.
DJ's been first and second in the last two tournaments. I mean, it's...
And again, he owns, we said this off the top, but I know he just, the guy that just asked the question said he just joined us. Dustin Johnson has not finished outside the top 10 at the Masters since 2015. He's got a second place finish, 2 fourth place finishes, and he just won. Keep in mind, the last Masters tournament was not a year ago, folks. It was less than 6 months ago. So yeah, the course played differently, but like, it's that victory is still fresh in his mind, and he was destroying the PGA Tour at the end of last year. He rattled off a bunch of second places, a couple of wins, and he's been good at the beginning of this year as well. His last two tournaments, he finished 54th and 48th, but before that, 8th, 11th, 1st, 2nd, 6th. So it's like, if you're getting 100-1 on that guy, you got to take Dustin Johnson.
It's Dustin Johnson's the best golfer in the world by a long shot. That's to me, it's not really very close. Some people will say Justin Thomas is a close second. I don't agree. Just to give you that, Vince, so you know, these are the last 10 rounds at Augusta for Dustin Johnson. 65, 70, 65, 68, 68, 70, 70, 68. He finally shot over par with a 73, 68. He shot over par once in the last 10 rounds at Augusta. And then 71, 69, like his last four tournaments, he shot over par twice. Three times total in his last five appearances, he shot over par. Like, he's going to be in the top 10.
Yeah. And he's just so incredibly consistent, and it's fresh in his mind. He's healthy. He's been banged up, not severely, but throughout the last couple of years, he has had these little nagging injuries, back problems, leg problems. From all accounts, he is fully healthy and ready to go here this weekend. So I'm loving. I even said it in my Dustin Johnson article, which again, you can find at shootingthesportsish.com. I said he is such a favorite this year that you would have to hit him to win, hit him top five, and hit him top 10 to equal the payout of guys like Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, just those guys that are in the third place, third favorite overall. But Dustin Johnson is such a heavy favorite right now that you would have to hit all three of those bets just to equal the winner of guys that are ranked just two spots below him. So, I mean, he's an absolute monster.
Yeah, even looking back more, just to go into Dustin Johnson a lot, because I just love talking about Dustin Johnson because I love him. And also, he got asked last year what his favorite part of the Masters was, and he said the egg salad sandwiches, which is hilarious. Like, apparently the sandwiches at Augusta are amazing.
And then I've heard that too. And then he got to host the dinner this year, and he got, you know, his choice of food and everything. So everything's coming up Dustin Johnson here. It's especially 100-1. I mean, come on. There's nobody else you should be even risking it, except for maybe Jon Rahm if you feel very convinced in your gut. But the smart play is Dustin Johnson.
For sure. He's looking back at his last, was this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 appearances. First at the seven appearances. 48th at the Players. That's a tough tournament. Whatever. 54 at WGC Mexico. I don't even know anything about that tournament. 8th at Genesis. 11th at Tournament of Champions. Obviously won the Masters, 2nd at the Vivian Houston Open, 6th at the U.S. Open Championship that actually Colin Morikawa won. So,
well, and more than that, Tony, you keep going back into last year. First place at the Tour Championship, second place, and he lost in a playoff, so he forced a playoff there at the BMW Championship. Right. First at the Northern Trust, 2nd at the PGA Championship. These are all consecutive going back to last year. And then 12th at the WGC FedEx. And then before that, he withdrew and missed a cut because of, again, I believe some injury stuff. But look at that. Right before that, last June, Travelers Championship, he won. So going all the way back to last June, you're talking about multiple victories, many top five finishes, and even more top 10 finishes. So, I mean, what else do we have to say?
Right. No doubt. Let's look into some of these other props. Some of the other ones that people really love to do is, like, obviously you got your top five finishes, Dustin Johnson plus 200 top five. I mean, everything's coming up Dustin Johnson. Like you said, I love that. I think it's fair. If you want to put some money on Dustin Johnson, you feel good about listening to that segment. Take him top five, take him top 10, take him win. I mean, if you're not going to win a ton off of him winning like you can others, but I mean, your money's probably safer with him. He's probably not winning it back to back years, but just don't count it out. Here's some of these guys I think you should stay away from in these top five, top 10 finishes. Don't touch Bryson DeChambeau. You're going to look at these odds and you're going to see, we already said fade him on the winner. He's not winning this tournament, I don't think. I saw his warm up with the way he was driving the ball. He's going to drive it a million yards and it's going to go left or right. That's just what's going to happen. His short game's going to have to make it up. And I don't think he's going to, I just don't believe in his short game at all. plus 275 and plus 125, top five, top 10, respectively. Sounds like maybe you can win some money back that you lost betting on other guys. I don't think Bryson DeChambeau is going to win your money. I think maybe you can look at him top 20, but even then, he's minus 200. He's expensive. Yeah.
His odds just plummet way too quickly, which I also mentioned in my article. The only thing I'm going to potentially be on with Bryson this weekend is to have an eagle, and you can bet that per round. Right now, it's plus 400 to have one in the first round. It'll probably stay around 400, 500 as the weekend goes on. That's the only thing I'm going to consider with Bryson this weekend. And I even said exactly what you said in the article. His success or failures this weekend are going to depend on the accuracy of his second and third shots, and I just don't believe it's there.
No, I don't think so. Now, I do like Rory. If you want to bet Rory, I wouldn't take him to win. I think Rory top 10 plus 125 is okay. To me, just because I think Rory's been so erratic in the last year and a half or so, even longer than that. It's been a while. He's been erratic. I think that you just have to be careful with Rory, because plus 125 to me is not enough value to put my money on him.
No, I agree, and I'm never been a big Rory fan, never been a big Rory better, so I'm off him. And that's the thing for me, too, is it's not like an inner debate, like, do I take Rory, don't I? I'm just always off him. I don't really care to bet on him, so that's my take on Rory.
I think for top 10 finishes, you have some value in a guy like Patrick Reed, plus 300. I think that's enough value to take a chance on him. Tony Finau is also plus 300. He's 40-1 to win. There's a lot of value there if you like Finau. I don't think he wins this tournament, but, 40-1. I mean, why not maybe consider it? But plus 600, top five, plus 10, top 10, though, or top 10 plus 300, I think is a fine consideration for him, top 10.
The funny thing about top 10s is they always look so good. And you're like, oh, this guy could end up top 10. He could end up top 10. He could end up. And then you end up having 15 guys that you think could go top 10. And you're like, well, that's not going to happen. I always get drawn in on the top 10. Odds look delicious. You're like 10. Yeah, that they definitely could do it. You just got to be careful how many top 10 bets you're taking. But I agree. If Tony Finau can put it together on Saturday and Sunday, I've always liked Finau in head-to-head matchups. Or anything you can get him in the early rounds. He's just always been an early round guy. Maybe something to consider there. Or say he slightly underperforms on Thursday and then is getting favorable plus money odds in a head to head matchup on Friday. Maybe you hop on him there. But I've never really trusted Finau as we move deep into the weekend.
So Finau, it's funny you say that, has six top 10s over the last year, like whatever I saw on DraftKings. So I was looking it up earlier, six top 10s, and he had at one point four straight top fives. I don't like him to finish top five, but there is evidence to support him being a top 10. There's also evidence if you think Kepka's knee will be fine for him to finish in the top 10. He's finished four out of the four top 10s in the last year as well. But Kepka's odds just probably aren't very nice. Plus 300, or plus 250 rather. So it's like, I mean, you can take a bet on some of these guys, but I'm just looking at these guys with a little better odds,
Well, and what I see out of Kepka too is, he's got that knee problem. He's still going to be good enough, I think, to place in the top 20, make some good money. And I think that's probably what's on his mind this year is like, hey, I might not be able to compete for that top five spot, but if I can end up anywhere from 12 to 15 to 18, still make a really good paycheck and then take a few weeks or a month off or whatever and get ready for the next Masters. So I just don't, knowing Brooks Koepka and his personality and the fact that he doesn't need this win to establish himself anymore. I just don't know if he's going to be pushing himself to try and reach that top five. He might settle for, somewhere in the teens.
Somewhere where he's winning some money, right? Winning a good amount of money. Are there any other bets that you want to touch on before we maybe talk about some DFS plays that I've got listed down here on my notes?
Yeah, I've just got a couple of gut plays, I would like to call them. First of all, Max Homa, I'm going to put some money on him somewhere. I haven't figured out where, top 30, top 40, somewhere. That's a fandom thing for me. I like him and I think he might do okay. But, as far as, gut plays and betting analysis, some people might not like this, might disagree with me. And if you do, you can hit me up on Twitter or whatever and let me know. I like Fitzpatrick to miss the cut. I don't know why. I just have this gut feeling he's played really well lately. Fifth place, 11th place, 10th place, 9th place. I don't know. I just think I don't think he's ever played very well. I think he's only had two appearances at the Masters. The last time out was he finished 46th, so he did make the cut. Ended up finishing plus one for the tournament. I don't know. It's just a gut thing. I'm not going to put too much on it, but you're getting plus 300 for Fitzpatrick to miss the cut. So that is one of my gut plays. Another one, jumping all the way back to Lee Westwood, is I like him as the top English player. He's only got one or two legitimate guys that he would have to beat out as a top English player. You're getting even money on that, so I might throw some money on that. But my favorite bet of the tournament overall, Tony, and again, people hate this one that I love it so much, but give me no hole-in-ones all weekend plus 120. You got to lay minus 167 for a hole-in-one. And hole-in-ones happen. Obviously, they happen at Augusta. And I'm just not going to lay – when you look at it, it's statistically way more probable that a hole-in-one does not happen, correct? And you're getting plus money for it. It's my favorite bet. I bet it every single year at the Masters, plus 120. I'll probably throw like $100 on it or something. And it stinks because everybody wants to see a hole-in-one, but that's why the bookies have it, books have it juiced, because people are going to bet yes to a hole-in-one no matter what. Like, they don't need to be incentivized. People want to see a hole-in-one, so they're going to bet yes. I like no. And hey, if you end up losing that bet, at least you get to see something cool in a hole-in-one. But it is my favorite bet year in and year out at the Masters Tournament. Bet against a hole-in-one, you're getting plus 120.
I like that quite a bit. There's a lot of props on this game. So if you guys go in here, Jake touched on quite a few of them. There's a lot of them. I personally am not a top 30, top 40 better guy. I love that you mentioned Max Homa. Also, I listen to a lot of Barstool Sports podcasts, and the PMT guys over at Pardon My Take really love Homa. He's been on there.
They'll make you love. They'll make you love, like, after one interview. It's like you don't even know who a guy is, and then 30 minutes later, you're his biggest fan. Like, that's one of my favorite parts about those guys.
Hey, and if, listen, they interviewed Jared Butler ahead of the Final Four, and then Baylor ends up winning the national championship. So maybe since they've had Max Homa on, maybe he wins the Masters. I don't know. Maybe there's a Barstool Sports bump on there. Maybe don't take me too seriously with that.
Did you see, real quick, speaking of that, their foreplay podcast just uploaded Dustin Johnson played against them left-handed, and he birdied a hole left-handed, and the rest of them put up a six. I think three of them put up a six, and then another guy put up a seven. But Dustin Johnson just... out of nowhere, he was like, I haven't done this in a while. It took like three practice shots. I ended up birdying left-handed. So that was fun to watch, too.
That's God, I love Dustin Johnson. And Dustin Johnson's voice is so boring that you think he sounds like the most boring dude in the world. But I bet he's actually pretty damn cool to hang out with.
Oh, super chill. I mean, dude used to do blow all the time. He's got to have some sort of personality, have some sort of excitement, you know?
You know, that's true. There's a lot of prop bets in this tournament, though. We're going to talk about daily fantasy plays in a little bit. We'll have another full video I'll upload tonight as well, get it all ready for the Masters. We already talked about groups a little bit. You can look and you can bet groups. We're not going to go through more bets, just kind of tell you guys what's out there if you guys are new bettors. Surprisingly, a lot of people don't bet golf. I am a huge proponent of betting golf. I think you should, if you are a sports bettor, I think you should get into golf and bet golf, because it is some of the most pure betting you can do. And you can basically just set your bets and you can check back every day and you can win back some of the money you've lost, because it's so easy to figure out. Once you get into Saturday, Sunday, then you can really start to try to win some of the money back you lost on those guys you bet pregame. You can get in there early enough on Sunday when we're going down the final stretch, and the leader is often still positive money. So if even like Dustin Johnson last year, I didn't think went negative money until like halfway through Sunday.
It's very, very rare. Like you said, unless you are late, unless there's like five or six holes left, it's rare to see a minus whatever anytime in golf.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just always so many possibilities. Unless you're leading by five with a couple holes left, you know, you're probably got to lay some money. But in golf, you're almost always, even if it's even money or barely even money, like you're almost always going to get some sort of positive payout.
Yeah, you can get your money back when you get to that. So that's kind of how I do it with golf, which is why it's easy to come out positive with golf. It's a great thing to bet. You have round one scores that are in here. There's some stuff like if you think like I do that Bryson DeChambeau is going to play like crap over 70.5. Plus 110. There's a lot of value in some of these props. Make or miss the cut. Those are dangerous ones to bet, I think. And there's not always a lot of value on some of these guys, unless you like look at a Phil Mickelson and think he won't make the cut. I don't see not making the cut plus 125. There's a good chance he doesn't make the cut. He could also win it. But there's a lot of different things you can look at here. There's tournament specials here. Top colleges, like top University of Texas player. Is the winner left-handed, like Jake mentioned already? Who has the best 18-hole round score of the tournament? Hey, Dustin Johnson, who is very likely to get that, plus 1,200 on that bet. Pretty ridiculous. Lots and lots of fun bets that you can look at here on betting golf, and it's why it's my favorite thing to bet.
Tons of nationalities, too, if you're into that. Like I briefly mentioned with Lee Westwood, I mean, some of these, it's pretty easy. Like if you go Japanese or there's a couple that have like 2-3 guys max. So, I mean, you got a 33% chance of being right. So, yeah, the one that I am playing for nationality is Lee Westwood. I think his only real competition is going to be Paul Casey, and you're getting even money. So lots and lots of bets like that. I say it's just like the Super Bowl. I mean, but the thing with golf is like it doesn't happen one time a year where you have all these prop bets, like 4 majors a year, and you can bet all these props on the smaller tournaments, too. So, I mean, like you said, Tony, you should be betting golf. If you enjoy sports, if you enjoy betting in general, you should be betting golf.
Golf is one of one of the easiest ones to bet too. I mean, you can bet a half a unit, and if you got the right golfer, I mean, you can be up 10, 15 units very quickly if you just happen to get a guy that has long odds. It's very easy to get way up. I will lightly touch on DFS stuff. I don't know if you do daily fantasy sports, but I want to talk about some of these guys that are in here. Just because there's so much to talk about the Masters, I do have my lineup I set for daily fantasy sports. This is all through DraftKings. I just think they have the better interface over FanDuel. Mm-hmm. There are some guys you can see in here that are expensive. And so if you're doing daily fantasy, if you're just going all in on here, there's a lot of money that can be made in daily fantasy sports for golf as well. Usually their higher buy-in for these games are $10. But you get 6 golfers, and basically you just got to pick guys that are going to be in the tournament. We've talked a lot about some of these dudes already. Dustin Johnson, he's 11,500. While you might want to put your money on him on straight traditional betting, maybe you don't play him in your daily fantasy lineup. Yes, he is probably going to score a ton of fantasy golf points, but you need to have room for some of these other players. So your DJs, your John Rahms, your Bryson DeChambeau fade, your Justin Thomas, your Rorys, those guys are very expensive, and there's some other plays you can get for sure. There's some guys that I like here. Your tier one guys are your tier one guys, but I want to talk about some of these tier two guys. Lee Westwood, I like a lot at 8,800 on daily fantasy sports. He's made 8 out of 11 cuts. He had back-to-back top 2 finishes at the Players and Arnold Palmer. And really what's most important is, do I think Lee Westwood will make the cut? And I do think he will make the cut. That is enough for me to play him. He's probably going to shoot under par at least 1 or 2 rounds, and they score off eagles and birdies and things like that. There is a chance there. Daniel Berger is a big name. 4 top 10s, 3 straight top 50s, 9 out of 10 cuts, $8,500. He's a nice play too. What were you going to say?
Somebody I always just go back to. I keep going back. He always fits nicely in the lineup. It is Victor Hovland. I mean, yep. 11 out of 12 cuts made, 5 top 10s recently, and he went on a legit streak there. First, second, sixth, fifth, second. All of those right in a row. Most recently, he's had some poor finishes, but that's at the Arnold Palmer and the Players. Hasn't played too much, especially compared to some of these other guys recently. But the young golfer out of Norway at 8,700.
Yep. And he may Colin Morikawa sweat at WGC Workday too. I mean, he was putting very well, and he was coming up on him. He had a real chance at that halfway through Sunday before Morikawa just hit a couple birdies in a row to run away with it. Sergio Garcia, 3 top 10s in the last year, has won a tournament. He finished 9th at the Players. If you finish 9th at the Players, you are probably fairly good with your approach shots and probably a pretty decent putter. 7,900 for him. He's a nice play as well. And I just like Adam Scott. So he's $7,600. I just like Adam Scott. Hama, too, 7,100. 3 top 10s, 83rd at the Players. He didn't make the cut. He was 61st at the last year's Masters, did not play day 4, but I just like Hama, and I think he's played pretty well this year.
And a couple other guys that I'll throw out there, if you're just focused on guys that, because again, in golf, like you got to make the cut. If you don't make the cut, you're done. You got no chance of winning. Neiman, who I just said was going to lose to Lee Westwood in the grouping, but I mean, he's made 12 out of 12 cuts. So if you're concerned about that, he's only 7,400. But a guy that I really, really like is Paul Casey. 5 top 10s recently, 10 out of 11 cuts made. And talk about a streak. This is his streak coming in to the Why do I keep forgetting the Masters, the name of the match? I've typed it literally a billion times today, and I can't spit it out. Anyway, his streak coming into the Masters, 8th place, 1st place on the European Tour, 12th place on the European Tour, but then 5th, 10th, and 5th. So, and these, again, are at tough places to play, tough tournaments. Most recently at the Players' Championship, he ended up taking 5th, 10 out of 11 cuts, and it's value right there, 7,700. Yeah. So I like Paul Casey a lot. He's probably going to be in every one of my lineups.
Yeah, so I have my lineup that I'm going to give you guys. This is where I'm at here. I'm going with Patrick Cantlay. Patrick Cantlay is at 9,800. Why did I pick him? He's got 4 top 10s, 7 top 20s with 6 straight. He finished 43rd at the U.S. Open. He's made 9 out of 10 cuts. Of a tier 2 guy, a tier 1 guy, I like playing with him. He's probably playing on Sunday at the Masters. That's really nice. I like Tony Finau a lot. Tony Finau, in all likelihood, is playing on Sunday as well. Is he going to win? Maybe, probably not. But again, 11 out of 13 cuts, 6 top 10s, 4 straight top 5s. He was 99th at the Players, which is scary, and he was not good last weekend at the Texas Open either. But sometimes those smaller tournaments, you can kind of ride off their performances. Cameron Smith, I like in my tier 2, which is like in the 8,000 range guys. Cameron Smith has been playing pretty well. I don't have his stuff pulled up. I don't know why. Do you have DraftKings open?
Yeah, let me search him right now.
I put all these names down.
Cam Smith has made 10 out of 11 cuts. He's had 3 top 10s recently. Most recently, 17th at the Players. And before that, his best finish of the year was 4th at the Genesis Open. So, and 2nd, by the way, last year's Masters, which again, you can't overstate that the last year's Masters was less than 6 months ago. So it's still fresh in these guys' minds.
Yeah, same course, and they even though the putt, same course, not that long ago. The problem is that it's like, okay, but the course was so different that it's like, what did I, you know, should I do it at all? I also like Answer as well. Antonio Answer had played well, and he's cheap, 7,400, 12 out of 14 cuts, 2 top 10s. He's giving you about 70 points per. Sergio Garcia, that's another one that's pretty cheap. Garcia is 9 out of 13 cuts, 3 top 10s, 1 win, averaging about 70 fantasy points. And again, I have a bias. I just like Adam Scott. Adam Scott is 7,600. He's made all of his last 10 cuts, which is key, and he's had 1 top 10. When you're putting these lineups together, Jake, I think it's fair to say if you guys are going to do a lineup this late in the game, play dudes that make the cut. Do not just try to play guys you think can win. Play dudes that are going to be golfing on Sunday, or you will lose in the lineup. You cannot just go, I'm going with Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson DeChambeau misses cuts and he can't putt. Like, he's not a great putter. Think about that before you put these big money on these top guys.
Yeah, exactly. And not everybody can win. Not everybody can place top 10, but you don't need them to. I mean, if you have a guy that, say, makes the cut at, I don't know, he's like -2 going into Saturday or Sunday. So he's pretty much off the lead, but he puts together a real nice round, ends up -7, -8, a couple birdies, couple fairways hit, whatever. Like, that's where all your points are coming from. That's where all the value is coming from. Not everybody can win. So like you said, cuts are very important. I do want to propose this to you, especially for casual golf fans. No matter how many times we say it, they're probably going to snag a few of those top guys. Maybe they throw in Rahm and Dustin Johnson. So then you got to play with a few of these guys that are, you know, between 6,000, 6,500. Do you like anybody that's way, way down the board?
Let me pull it back up here real quick. I don't play that way even in daily fantasy for like NFL. I don't look at it because that I try to stay away from playing the heavy favorites because I don't want to be locked up. Cameron Champ at 6,600, 6 out of 13 cuts, 1 top 10. I don't mind Cameron Champ. I think he has a decent game. He played at the Masters last year. He did finish 19th, and he shot pretty well there. He's someone to maybe consider. Cameron Champ might really be the only person I like in that 6,000 range, to be honest. Ian Poulter. Ian Poulter is another person that can sometimes play well. He's an older golfer, obviously. He's played like absolute garbage in his last two tournaments, 1/12th at the Players. But before that, you know, he had three top 40 finishes, and last year he did finish 25th at the Masters. But the way he played at the Players makes him scary for me. However, he makes the cut fairly often. I don't know, man. It's tough. What about you? Anybody in the 6,000?
Yeah, I'll throw two names out there. One, I won't be playing this week, but just for future reference, I do like Kevin Na if you're looking for a plug and play. He's not been great lately. If it just finished 114th in his last tournament, so not this weekend, but I'm saying in future reference, you can always kind of look to Kevin Na for a guy who will make a cut, not going to, you know, push you over the limit most times, but probably most of the time not going to cost you either. My fallback all the time is Ryan Palmer. I don't know where I got this affinity for Ryan Palmer from, but I think I put him in a lineup a year or two ago, and he ended up doing really well for me, and then I went back to him, and he did well for me, and he's always cheap. I've never seen this guy above like 6,500, which is where he's sitting right now. He's made 10 out of 11 cuts. He's had three top 10s, and again, you're not looking at guys necessarily that are going to win, but we have two fourth place finishes, a second place finish, three 17th place finishes. So he's going to be able to get you points. He averages about 70 points. So again, not going to explode, make your lineup explode. But I like Palmer to make the cut. So yep. if you're looking down there, I don't think you can go wrong with Champ or Palmer. They're only $100 difference.
All right, we're at the end of the podcast here. Who's winning? Who is going to be wearing the green jacket at the end of this weekend? No, not betting wise. We're just talking straight up win. Pick your winner.
Yeah, I got to go John Rahm. I've picked John Rahm. This will be my fourth Masters in a row now that I have picked John Rahm to win. I got to be right eventually. Like you said, I think Dustin Johnson is going to be right there, but to win back to back Masters in any fashion in any year is going to be very, very tough. I don't know if we've mentioned it yet, but he's a new, he being John Rahm, is a new first-time father, and we've seen this with athletes before where, like, they just somehow they get this new superpower or this new focus or whatever, and then they end up out there celebrating a championship with their toddler or their newborn or whatever. I think we could finally see, as I put it in my article, I think this is the year we finally see the Spaniard don the green jacket. So give me John Rahm.
I like John Rahm. That's who I'm taking as well. The new dad thing, as a dad of a 1 year old, that's a big deal for me too. So that's who I'm rooting for. He's got six top 10 finishes, eight top 20, nine top 25s. He's not finished lower than 32nd this year. He's made every cut in his last 10 appearances.
And he's been right there all the last three Masters, again, fourth, seventh, and ninth place. So hasn't won one, hasn't been in second, but he's been right there.
We saw the story with Dustin Johnson last year. Was Dustin Johnson was always the bridesmaid, never the bride when it came to winning these tournaments. And finally, he got through the hump. He got over the hump, wins the green jacket because there was no Tiger out there to ruin it for him like a couple years ago. I think Rahm joins him. I will tell you, one of my long shot guys I do like to possibly challenge and maybe win is Paul Casey. Three straight top 10s, five total top 10s in the last year, 10 out of 11 cuts, six straight top 15s. He had eight straight top 50s. That is something to consider when someone is that red hot. Dustin Johnson was red hot, molten lava hot. And so is John Rahm right now. So is Paul Casey. That is someone to really consider here. 40-1 odds is Paul Casey. But he is smoldering hot right now. He can definitely challenge for that thing the way he's playing.
And I can't disagree with you. I literally just said I'm going to have Paul Casey in every single one of my DraftKings lineups. And at 7,700 with outside potential to actually win the tournament, can't go wrong. What did you say, 40-1 odds?
40-1 odds. I had not put money on him yet, but I will be going to do that literally right now while we're finishing this up.
Yeah, there you go. Don't be afraid of Paul Casey this weekend.
No, I don't think so. Not when someone's playing that well. John Rahm, Paul Casey. That's it. Anything you want to put over? You talked about your Shooting Sports-ish articles. Talk about your other stuff that you do outside of Shooting Sports-ish.
Well, right now I'm just trying to find a way to make some money through the summer because my play-by-play job is done. But just in general, I do play-by-play. I do radio. I do TV. Pretty much at any time I can open my mouth, talk about sports, I do it. You can follow me at Senholes on Sport, as you can see right there. And just check out everything I'm writing over at shootingthesportsish.com. Tony works super hard. and especially is very busy. Life as a teacher, I know, can be very stressful and difficult, but puts together a great website for us. You can also find me over at flurrysports.org is kind of my main website, but I'm obviously doing a ton for Shooting the Sports Ish as well. And then you can buy my picks. I'm on a cold streak right now, so I have not been promoting my packages because I've been I've been very, very, very cold. But when I get back on a hot streak, you can find me over at PickCity.com. My packages start as cheap as $4.99. So that's pretty much all I got.
There you go. And let us know if you guys like how we broke down all this stuff. If you want us to touch other sports, maybe Jake and I need to come back a couple times a week and give you some stuff. Talk about some football, talk about some basketball, some baseball. Jake is typically very good at hockey, although he just said he was cold. I've tailed some of his picks before, and it's been profitable for me. I've done fairly well with baseball. I just need to get more consistent about getting my picks out there myself. But being a teacher and a dad at the end of the school year is something.
Yeah, you're looking forward to summer, aren't you?
I'm very ready for summer. But anyway, guys, I'm Tony. That's Jake. The Masters is going to be awesome. We will be live this weekend for WrestleMania coverage as well, and tonight for NXT TakeOver. So keep tuned. Shooting the Sports Ish will be loaded with content all week, and we will see you here on the channel.